Chapter 40, Paul Appeals to Caesar. When Festus had come into his province, after 3 days he went up to Jerusalem from Caesarea. And the chief priests and the principal men of the Jews informed him against Paul, and they urged him, asking as a favor to have the man sent to Jerusalem. In making this request they purposed to waylay Paul along the road and murder him. But Festus had a high sense of responsibility, and courteously declined. He declared that it is not the custom of the Romans to give up anyone before the accused met the accusers face to face, and had opportunity to make his defense. The Jews had not forgotten their former defeat at Caesarea. Again they urged that Paul be brought to Jerusalem for trial, but Festus held firmly to his purpose of giving Paul a fair trial at Caesarea. God controlled the decision of Festus, that the life of the apostle might be lengthened. The Jewish leaders at once prepared to witness against Paul at the court of the procurator. Festus took his seat on the tribunal and ordered Paul to be brought. The Jews who had gone down from Jerusalem stood about him, bringing against him many serious charges which they could not prove. As the trial proceeded, the accused with calmness and candor clearly showed the falsity of their statements. Festus discerned that there was nothing in the charges against Paul that would render him subject to death or even imprisonment. Yet he saw clearly the storm of rage that would be created if Paul were not condemned or delivered into their hands. And so, wishing to do the Jews a favor, Festus asked Paul if he was willing to go to Jerusalem under his protection, to be tried by the Sanhedrin. The apostle knew that he would be safer among the heathen than with those who had rejected light from heaven and hardened their hearts against the gospel. He therefore decided to exercise his privilege, as a Roman citizen, of appealing to Caesar. "I am standing before Caesar's tribunal, where I ought to be tried. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you know very well. If then I am a wrongdoer, and have committed anything for which I deserve to die, I do not seek to escape death, but if there is nothing in their charges against me, no one can give me up to them. I appeal to Caesar." Festus knew nothing of the conspiracies of the Jews to murder Paul and was surprised at this appeal to Caesar. However, the words of the apostle put a stop to the proceedings of the court. "Festus," answered, "you have appealed to Caesar you shall go." Those who serve God need firm courage. Once more, because of hatred, a servant of God was driven for protection to the heathen. This same hatred forced Elijah to flee to the widow of Sarepta, and it forced the heralds of the gospel to turn from the Jews to the Gentiles. And this hatred the people of God living in this age have yet to meet. Men claiming to be Christ's representatives will take a course similar to that of the priests and rulers in their treatment of Christ and the apostles. Faithful servants of God will encounter the same hardness of heart, the same cruel determination, the same unyielding hatred. Those who are true to God will be persecuted, their motives impugned, their best efforts misinterpreted, and their names cast out as evil. Satan will work with all his deceptive power to make evil appear good, and good evil. Fiercely will he strive to stir up against God's people the rage of those who, while claiming to be righteous, trample on the law of God. It will require the firmest trust, the most heroic purpose, to hold fast the faith once delivered to the saints. Prepared or unprepared, God's people must all meet the soon coming crisis, and those only who have brought their lives into conformity to the divine standard will stand firm. When secular rulers unite with ministers of religion to dictate in matters of conscience, then it will be seen who really fear and serve God. And while the enemies of truth watch the Lord's servants for evil, God will watch over them for good. He will be to them as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land.